I hope he can stay out of trouble in the meantime.
Secrets? The sorceress asked, smiling her little smile.
Secrets, the wizard nodded. I must leave right away.
She took one hand out from under his and stroked his leathery skin.
It be dark outside.
Dark, he agreed.
Why not stay the night? Leave with the light.
Zed's eyes snapped up, looking at her from under his eyebrows.
Stay the night?
Addie shrugged as she stroked his hands.
It be lonely here sometimes.
Well,
Zed's impish grin lit his face.
As you say, it is dark outside, and I guess it would make more sense to start out in the morning.
A sudden frown broke out, wrinkling his brow.
This isn't one of your riddles, is it?
She shook her head, and his grin came back.
I have my wizard's rock along. Could I interest you?
Addie's face softened in a shy smile.
I would like that very much.
She watched him as she sat back, taking a bite of her apple. Zed arched an eyebrow.
Naked?
Wind and rain bowed the long grass in broad, slow waves as the two of them made their way across the open, flat plain. Trees were few and far between, mostly birch and alder in clusters along streams. Kaelin watched the grass carefully. They were near the Mud People's territory. Richard followed silently behind, keeping her under his watchful eye, as always. She didn't like taking him to the Mud People, but he was right. They had to know where to look for the last box, and there was no one else anywhere near who could point them in the right direction. Autumn was wearing on, and their time was dwindling. Still, the Mud People might not help them, and then the time would be wasted. Worse, although she knew they probably would not dare to kill a confessor, even one traveling without the protection of a wizard, she had no idea if they would dare to kill the Seeker. She had never traveled the Midlands before without a wizard. No confessor did. It was too dangerous. Richard was better protection than Giller, the last wizard assigned her, but Richard was not supposed to be her protection. She was supposed to be his. She couldn't allow him to put his life at risk for her again. He was more important than she to stopping Rawl. That was what mattered above all else. She had pledged her life in defense of the Seeker, in defense of Richard. She had never meant anything more ardently in her life. If a time came that called for a choice, it must be she who died. The path through the grasses came to two poles, one set to each side of the trail. They were wrapped in skins dyed with red stripes. Richard stopped by the poles, looking up at the skulls fixed atop them.
"This meant to warn us away?" he asked as he stroked one of the skins.
"No, they are the skulls of honored ancestors meant to watch over their lands. Only the most respected are accorded such recognition."
"That doesn't sound threatening. Maybe they won't be so unhappy to see us after all."
Kaelin turned to him and lifted an eyebrow. "One of the ways you get to be revered by the Mud People is by killing outsiders." She looked back at the skulls.
"But this is not meant as a threat to others. It is simply a tradition of honor among themselves."
Richard took a deep breath as he withdrew his hand from the pole.
"Let's see if we can get them to help us, so they can go on revering their ancestors and keeping outsiders away."
"Remember what I told you," she warned. "They may not want to help. You have to respect that if it is their decision. These are some of the people I am trying to save. I don't want you to hurt them."
"Kaelin, it's not my desire or intention to hurt them."
"Don't worry. They will help us. It's in their own interest."
"They may not see it that way," she pressed. The rain had stopped, replaced by a light, cold mist she felt on her face.
She pushed the hood of her cloak back.
Richard, promise me you won't hurt them.
He pushed his hood back also, put his hands on his hips, and surprised her with a little smile out of one side of his mouth.
Now I know how it feels.
What? She asked, a tone of suspicion in her voice. As he looked down at her, his smile grew.
Remember when I had the fever from the snake vine and I asked you not to hurt Zed? Now I know how you felt when you couldn't make that promise.
Kaelin looked into his gray eyes, thinking of how much she wanted to stop Rawl, and thought of all those she knew whom he had killed.
And now I know how you must have felt when I could not make that promise.
She smiled in spite of herself.
Did you feel this foolish for asking?
He nodded. When I realized what was at stake, and when I realized what kind of person you were, that you wouldn't do anything to harm anyone unless there was no choice, then I felt foolish for not trusting you.
She did feel foolish for not trusting him, but she knew he trusted her too much.
I'm sorry, she said, the smile still on her lips.
I should know you better than that.
Do you know how we can get them to help us? She had been to the village of the Mud People several times, none of them by invitation. They would never request a confessor. It was a common chore among confessors, paying a professional call on the different peoples of the Midlands. They had been polite enough, out of fear, but they had made it clear that they handled their own affairs and did not want outside involvement. They were not a people who would respond to threats.
The Mud People hold a gathering called a Council of Seers. I have never been allowed to attend, maybe because I am an outsider, maybe because I am a woman.
This group divines the answers to questions that affect the village. They will not hold a gathering at Swordpoint. If they are to help us, they must do so willingly. You must win them over. He gazed hard into her eyes.
With your help, we can do it.
We must. She nodded and turned to the path once more. Clouds hung low and thick above the grassland, seeming to boil slowly as they rolled along in an endless procession. Out on the plains, there seemed to be much more sky than there was anywhere else. It was an overpowering presence, dwarfing the unchanging, flat land. Rains had swollen the streams until the churning, muddy water pounded and frothed with a roar at the bottoms of the crossing logs that were used as bridges. Kaelin could feel the power of the water making the logs shudder under her boots. She stepped carefully as the logs were slippery and there was no hand rope to aid her crossing. Richard offered her his hand to steady her, and she was glad for the excuse to take it. She found herself looking forward to the stream crossings, to being able to take his hand. But as deeply as it hurt, she couldn't allow herself to encourage his feelings for her. She wished so much she could just be a woman like any other. But she wasn't. She was a confessor. Still, sometimes for brief moments, she could forget and pretend. She wished Richard would walk next to her, but he instead stayed behind, scanning the countryside, watching out for her. He was in a strange land, taking nothing for granted, seeing threat in everything. In Westland, she had felt the same way, so she understood the feeling. He was putting his life at great peril against Rawl, against things he had never encountered before, and was right to be wary. The wary died quick enough in the Midlands, the unwary faster still. After crossing another stream and plunging back into the wet grass, 8 men sprang up suddenly in front of them. Kaelin and Richard came to an abrupt halt. The men were wearing animal skins over most of their bodies. Sticky mud that didn't wash away in the rain was smeared over the rest of their skin and faces, and their hair smoothed down with it. Clumps of grass were tied to their arms and to the skins and stuffed under headbands, making them invisible when they had been squatted down. They stood silently in front of the two of them. All wore grim expressions. Kaelin recognized several of the men.
It was a hunting party of mud people. The eldest, a fit, wiry man she knew as Savadlin, approached her. The others waited, spears and bows relaxed but ready. Kaelin could feel Richard's presence close behind her. Without turning, she whispered for him to stay calm and do as she did. Savadlin stopped in front of her.
"Strength to Confessor Kaelin," he said.
"Strength to Savadlin and the mud people," she answered in their language. Savadlin slapped her across the face, hard. She slapped him back just as hard. Instantly, Kaelin heard the ringing sound of Richard's sword being pulled free. She spun on her heels.
"No, Richard!"
He had the sword up, ready to strike.
"No!"
She grabbed his wrists. "I told you to stay calm and do as I do." His eyes flicked from Savadlin's to hers. They were filled with unleashed anger, the magic that was ready to kill. The muscles in his jaw flexed as he clenched his teeth.
"And if they slit your throat, would you have me let them slit mine as well?"
"That is the way they greet people. It is meant to show respect for another's strength." He frowned, hesitating.
"I'm sorry I did not warn you. Richard, put the sword away."
His eyes went from hers to Savadlin, and then back to hers again, before he yielded and angrily thrust the sword back into its scabbard. Relieved, she turned back to the mud people as Richard stepped up protectively next to her. Savadlin and the others had been watching calmly. They didn't understand the words, but they seemed to grasp the meaning of what had happened. Savadlin looked away from Richard to Kaelin. He spoke in his dialect.
"Who is this man with the temper?"
"His name is Richard. He is the seeker of truth." Whispers broke out among the other members of the hunting party. Savadlin's eyes sought Richard's.
"Strength to Richard the Seeker."
Kaelin told him what Savadlin had said. There was still a hot look on his face. Savadlin stepped up and hit Richard, not with an open hand as he had hit her, but with his fist. Immediately, Richard unleashed a powerful blow of his own that knocked Savadlin from his feet and sent him sprawling on his back. He lay dazed on the ground with his limbs strewn awkwardly out. Fists tightened on weapons. Richard straightened, giving the men a dangerous look that kept them rooted firmly in place. Savadlin propped himself up on one hand, rubbing his jaw with the other. A grin spread across his face.
"None has ever shown such respect for my strength. This is a wise man."
The other men broke out in laughter. Kaelin held her hand over her mouth, trying to hide her own. The tension evaporated.
"What did he say?" Richard demanded.
"He said you have great respect for him, that you are wise. I think you have made a friend." Savadlin held his hand out for Richard to help him up. Warily, Richard complied. Once on his feet, Savadlin slapped Richard on the back, putting an arm around his big shoulders.
"I am truly glad you recognize my strength, but I hope you do not come to respect me any more."
The men laughed.
"Among the mud people, you shall be known as Richard with a temper."
Kaelin tried to hold back her laughter while she translated. The men were still snickering. Savadlin turned to them.
"Maybe you men would like to greet my big friend and have him show you his respect for your strength."
They all held their hands out in front of themselves and shook their heads vigorously.
"No,"
one of them said between fits of laughter.
"He has already shown you enough respect for all of us."
He turned back to Kaelin.
"As always, Confessor Kaelin is welcome among the mud people."
Without looking over, he gave a nod of his head, indicating Richard.
"Is he your mate?"
"No."
Savadlin tensed. "Then you have come here to choose one of our men?"
"No," she said, her voice regaining its calmness. Savadlin looked greatly relieved.
"The Confessor chooses dangerous traveling companions."
"Not dangerous to me. Only to those who would think to harm me." Savadlin smiled and nodded, then looked Kaelin up and down.
"You wear odd things,"
different from before.
Underneath, I am the same as before, Kaelin said as she leaned a little closer to make her point. That is what you need to know.
Savadlin backed away a little from her intense expression and gave a nod. His eyes narrowed.
And why are you here?
So that we might help each other. There is a man who would rule your people. The Seeker and I would have you rule yourselves. We came seeking your people's strength and wisdom to aid us in our fight.
Father Rahl,
Savadlin announced knowingly.
You know of him?
Savadlin nodded.
A man came. He called himself a missionary, said he wanted to teach us the goodness of one called Father Rahl. He talked to our people for 3 days, until we became tired of him.
It was Kaelin's turn to stiffen. She glanced at the other men, who had started smiling at the mention of the missionary. She looked back to the elder's mud-streaked face.
And what happened to him after the 3 days?
He was a good man,
Savadlin smiled meaningfully. Kaelin straightened herself. Richard leaned closer to her.
What are they saying?
They want to know why we are here. They said they have heard of Darkin Rahl.
Tell them I want to talk to their people, that I need them to call a gathering.
She looked up at him from under her eyebrows.
I am getting to that. Addie was right. You are not a patient person.
Richard smiled.
No, she was wrong. I am very patient, but I am not very tolerant. There is a difference.
Kaelin smiled at Savadlin as she spoke to Richard.
Well, please do not become intolerant just now, or show them any more respect for the moment. I know what I am doing, and it is going well. Let me do it my way, all right?
He agreed, folding his arms in frustration. She turned once more to the elder. He peered at her sharply and asked something that surprised her.
Did Richard with the temper bring us the reins?
Kaelin frowned.
Well, I guess you could say that.
She was confused by the question and didn't know what to say, so told him the truth.
The clouds follow him.
The elder studied her face intently and nodded. She didn't feel comfortable under his gaze and sought to bring the conversation back to the reason for her visit.
Savadlin, the Seeker has come to see your people on my advice. He is not here to harm or interfere with your people. You know me. I have been among you before. You know of my respect for the Mud people. I would not bring another to you unless it was important. Right now, time is our enemy.
Savadlin considered what she had said for a while, then at last spoke.
As I said before, you are welcome among us.
He looked up with a grin at the Seeker, then back to her.
Richard, with the temper, is most welcome in our village, too.
The other men were pleased with the decision. They all seemed to like Richard. They gathered up their things, including 2 deer and a wild boar, each tied to a carrying pole. Kaelin hadn't seen the result of their hunt before because it had been hidden in the tall grass. As they all started off down the path, the men gathered about Richard, touching him cautiously and jabbering questions he couldn't understand. Savadlin clapped him on the shoulders, looking forward to showing off his big new friend to the village. Kaelin went along beside him, for the most part ignored, and happy that so far they liked Richard. She understood the feeling. It was hard to dislike him, but there was some other reason for their ready acceptance of him. She worried about what that reason could be.
I told you I would win them over,
Richard said with a grin as he looked at her over their heads.
I just never thought I would do it by laying one of them out.
Chapter 23 Chickens scattered at their feet as the hunting party surrounding Kaelin and Richard led them into the Mud People's village. Set on a slight rise that passed for a hill in the grasslands of the wilds, the village was a collection of buildings constructed of a kind of mud brick, surfaced with a tan clay plaster and topped with grass roofs that leaked
as they became dry and had to be replaced constantly to keep the rain at bay. There were wood doors, but no glass in the windows of the thick walls, only cloth hanging in some to keep out the weather. Set in a rough circle around an open area, the buildings were one-room family homes clustered tightly on the south side, most sharing at least one common wall, narrow walkways passing between the homes here and there, and communal buildings grouped together on the north. A variety of structures placed loosely on the east and west separated them. Some of these were nothing more than four poles with grass roofs used as places to eat or as work areas for making weapons and pottery or as food preparation and cooking areas. In dry times, the whole village was shrouded in a fog of dust that clogged the eyes, nose, and tongue. But now its buildings were washed clean by the rain, and on the ground 1,000 footprints were turned to puddles that reflected the drab buildings above. Women, wrapped in simple dresses of brightly colored cloth, sat in the work areas, grinding tava root, from which they made the flat bread that was the staple of the mud people. Sweet-smelling smoke rose from the cooking fires. Adolescent girls with short-cropped hair, smoothed down by sticky mud, sat by the women, helping. Kaylin felt their shy eyes on her. She knew from being here before that she was the object of great interest among the young girls, a traveler who had been to strange places and seen all sorts of things, a woman whom men feared and respected. The older women abided the distraction with understanding indulgence. Children ran from every corner of the village to see what manner of strangers Savidlin's hunting party had brought back. They crowded around the hunters, squealing with excitement, stomping their bare feet in the mud and splashing the men. Ordinarily, they would be interested in the deer and boar, but now those were ignored in favor of the strangers. The men tolerated them with good-natured smiles. Little children were never scolded. When they were older, they would be put into strict training where they would be taught the disciplines of the mud people, of hunting, food gathering, and the ways of spirits. But for now, they were allowed to be children, with almost free rein to play. The knot of children offered up scraps of food as bribes for stories of who the strangers might be. The men laughed, declining the offerings in favor of saving the tale for the elders. Only slightly disappointed, the children continued to dance about, this being the most exciting thing that had happened in their young lives, something very much out of the ordinary, with a distinct tinge of danger. Six elders stood under the leaky protection of one of the open pole structures, waiting for Savidlin to bring the strangers to them. They wore deerskin pants and were bare-chested. Each had a coyote hide draped around his shoulders. Despite their grim faces, Kaylin knew them to be more friendly than they appeared. Mud people never smiled at outsiders until greetings had been exchanged, lest their souls be stolen. The children stayed back from the pole building, sitting in the mud to watch as the hunting party brought the outsiders to the elders. The women had halted their work at the cooking fires, as had the young men their weapons making, and all fell silent, including the children sitting in the mud. Business among the mud people was conducted in the open, for all to see. Kaylin stepped up to the six elders, Richard to her right, but back a pace, Savidlin to his right. The six surveyed the two outsiders.
"Strength to Confessor Kaylin," said the eldest.
"Strength to Tofalar," she answered. He gave her face a gentle slap, hardly more than a pat. It was their custom to give only small slaps in the village proper. Heartier ones, like Savidlin had delivered, were reserved for chance meetings out on the plain, away from the village. The gentler custom helped preserve order and teeth. Surin, Kaldus, Arbrin, Briginderin and Haginlet each in turn offered strength and a small slap. Kaylin returned the greetings and the gentle slaps. They turned to Richard. Savidlin stepped forward, pulling his new friend with him. He proudly displayed his swollen lip to the elders.
Kaelin spoke Richard's name under her breath with a rising inflection and a cautionary tone.
These are important men. Please do not loosen their teeth.
He gave her a quick glance out of the corner of his eye and a mischievous smile.
This is the Seeker, Richard with a temper, Savadlin said, proud of his charge.
He leaned closer to the elders, his voice heavy with meaning.
Confessor Kaelin brought him to us. He is the one you spoke of, the one who brought the reins. She told me so.
Kaelin began to worry. She didn't know what Savadlin was talking about. The elders remained stone-faced, except Toffalar, who lifted an eyebrow.
Strength to Richard with a temper,
Toffalar said. He gave Richard a gentle slap.
Strength to Toffalar,
he answered in his own language, having recognized his name and immediately returned the slap. Kaelin breathed out in relief that it was gentle. Savinlin beamed, showing his fat lip again. Toffalar at last smiled. After the others had given and received a greeting, they smiled too. And then they did something very odd. The six elders and Savadlin each dropped to one knee and bowed their heads to Richard. Kaelin instantly tensed.
What's going on?
Richard asked out of the side of his mouth, alerted by her anxiety.
I do not know, she answered in a low voice. Maybe it's their way of greeting the Seeker. I have never seen them do this before.
The men rose to their feet, all smiles. Toffalar held his hand up and motioned over their heads to the women.
Please,
Toffalar said to the two of them,
sit with us. We are honored to have you both among us.
Pulling Richard down with her, Kaelin sat cross-legged on the wet wooden floor. The elders waited until they were seated before seating themselves, paying no attention to the fact that Richard kept his hand near his sword. Women came with woven trays stacked high with loaves of round, flat tava bread and other food, offering them first to Toffalar and then the other elders as they kept their eyes and smiles on Richard. They chatted softly among themselves about how big Richard with the temper was and what odd clothes he wore. They mostly ignored Kaelin. Women in the Midlands tended not to like confessors. They saw them as a menace who could take their men and a threat to their lifestyle. Women were not supposed to be independent. Kaelin disregarded their cool glances. She was more than used to them. Toffalar took his bread and tore it in three sections, offering a third to Richard first, and then a third to Kaelin. With a smile, another woman offered a bowl of roasted peppers to each. Kaelin and Richard both took one, and, following the elder's example, rolled them in the bread. She noticed just in time that Richard was keeping his right hand near his sword and was about to eat with his left.
Richard, she warned in a harsh whisper. Don't put food in your mouth with your left hand.
He froze.
Why? Because they believe that evil spirits eat with their left hand.
That's foolish, he said, an intolerant tone in his voice.
Richard, please, they outnumber us. All their weapons are tipped with poison. This is a poor time for theological arguments.
She could feel his gaze on her as she smiled at the elders. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw with relief that he switched the food to his right hand.
Please forgive our meager offering of food, Toffalar said. We will call a banquet for tonight.
No, Kaelin blurted out. I mean, we do not want to impose upon your people.
As you wish,
Toffalar said with a shrug, a little disappointed.
We are here because the Mud People, among others, are in great danger.
The elders all nodded and smiled.
Yes, Surin spoke up. But now that you have brought Richard with a temper to us, all is well. We thank you, Confessor Kaelin. We will not forget what you have done.
Kaelin looked around at their happy, smiling faces.
She didn't know what to make of this development, and so took a bite of the flat-tasting tava bread with roasted peppers to gain time to think it over.
"What are they saying?" Richard asked before he took a bite himself.
"For some reason, they are glad I brought you here."
He looked over at her. "Ask them why." She gave him a nod and turned to Tofelar.
"Honored elder, I am afraid I must admit that I am without your knowledge of Richard with the temper."
He smiled knowingly.
"I am sorry, child. I forget you were not here when we called the Council of Seers. You see, it was dry. Our crops were withering, and our people were in danger of starvation. So we called a gathering to ask the spirits for help. They told us one would come and bring the rain with him. The rains came, and here is Richard with the temper, just as they promised."
"And so you are happy that he is here because he is an omen?"
"No,"
Tofelar said, eyes wide with excitement.
"We are happy that one of the spirits of our ancestors has chosen to visit us."
He pointed at Richard.
"He is a spirit man."
Kaelin almost dropped her bread. She sat back in surprise.
"What is it?" Richard asked.
She stared into his eyes.
"They had a gathering to bring rain. The spirits told them someone would come and bring the rain. Richard, they think you are a spirit of their ancestors. A spirit man."
He studied her face a moment. "Well, I'm not."
"They think you are. Richard, they would do anything for a spirit. They will call a council of seers if you ask."
She didn't like asking him to do this. She didn't feel at all right about deceiving the mud people, but they needed to know where the box was. Richard considered her words.
"No," he said quietly, while holding her gaze. "Richard, we have an important task to attend to. If they think you are a spirit, and that will help us get the last box, what does it matter?"
"It matters because it's a lie. I won't do it."
"Would you rather have Rawl win?" she asked quietly.
He gave her a cross look. "First of all, I will not do it because it's wrong to deceive these people about something as important as this. Secondly, these people have a power. That is why we are here. They have proven it to me by the fact that they said one would come with the rains. That part is true. In their excitement, they have jumped to a conclusion that is not. Did they say the one who would come would be a spirit?" She shook her head. "People sometimes believe things simply because they want to."
"If it works to our advantage and theirs, what harm is there?"
"The harm is in their power. What if they call the gathering and they see the truth, that I'm not a spirit? Do you think they will be pleased that we lied to them, tricked them? Then we will be dead, and Rawl wins." She leaned back and took a deep breath. The wizard chooses his seekers well, she thought.
"Have we aroused the temper of the spirit?"
Tofelar asked, a look of concern on his weathered face.
"He wants to know why you are angry," she said. "What shall I tell him?"
Richard looked at the elders, then to her.
"I will tell them.
Translate my words." Kaelin nodded her agreement. "The mud people are wise and strong," he began. "That is why I have come here. Your ancestors' spirits were right that I would bring the rains."
They all seemed pleased when Kaelin told them his words. Everyone else in the village was stone silent as they listened.
"But they have not told you everything. As you know, that is the way of spirits."
The elders nodded their understanding.
"They have left it to your wisdom to find the rest of the truth. In this way you remain strong, as your children become strong because you guide them, not because you provide them their every want. It is the hope of every parent that their children will become strong and wise to think for themselves."
There were nods, but not as many.
"What are you saying, Great Spirit?"
asked Arbrin, one of the elders in the back. Richard ran his fingers through his hair after Kaelin translated.
"I am saying that
Yes, I brought the rains, but there is more. Perhaps the spirit saw a greater danger for your people, and that is the more important reason I have come. There is a very dangerous man who would rule your people, make you his slaves. His name is Darkin Rahl. There were snickers among the elders.
Then he sends fools to be our masters,
Tofalar said. Richard regarded them angrily. The laughter died out.
It is his way to lull you into overconfidence. Do not be fooled. He has used his power and his magic to conquer peoples of greater numbers than you. When he chooses, he will crush you. The rains came because he sends clouds to follow me, to know where I am, that he might try to kill me at a time of his choosing. I am not a spirit. I am the seeker, just a man. I want to stop Darkin Rahl so that your people and others may live their own lives as they wish.
Tofalar's eyes narrowed.
If what you say is true, then the one called Rahl sent the rains and has saved our people. That is what his missionary tried to teach us, that Rahl would save us.
No, Rahl sent the clouds to follow me, not to save you. I chose to come here just as your spirit ancestors said I would. They said the rains would come and a man would come when they did. They did not say I would be a spirit.
There was great disappointment in the expressions of the elders as Caelan interpreted. She hoped it wouldn't turn to anger.
Then maybe the message of the spirits was a warning about the man that would come, Sirin said.
And maybe it was a warning about Rahl, Richard answered right back. I am offering you the truth. You must use your wisdom to see it, or your people are lost. I offer you a chance to help save yourselves.
The elders considered in silence.
Your words seem to flow true, Richard with a temper. But it is yet to be decided, Tofalar said at last. What is it you want from us?
The elders sat quietly, the joy gone from their faces. The rest of the village waited in quiet fear. Richard regarded the face of each elder in turn, then spoke quietly. Darkin Rahl looks for a magic that will give him the power to rule everyone, including the mud people. I look for this magic also, so that I might deny him the power. I would like you to call a council of seers to tell me where I might find this magic before it is too late, before Rahl finds it first. Tofalar's face hardened.
We do not call gatherings for outsiders.
Caelan could tell that Richard was getting angry and straining to control himself. She didn't move her head, but her eyes swept around, gauging where everyone was, especially the men with weapons, in case they had to fight their way out. She didn't judge their chances of escape to be very good. Suddenly, she wished she had never brought him here. Richard's eyes were full of fire as he looked around at the people of the village and then back to the elders.
In return for bringing you the rain, I ask of you only that you do not decide right now. Consider what manner of man you find me to be.
He was keeping his voice calm, but there was no mistaking the import of his words.
Think it over carefully.
Many lives depend upon your decision. Mine, Caelan's, yours. As Caelan translated, she was suddenly suffused with the cold feeling that Richard was not talking to the elders. He was speaking to someone else. She suddenly felt the eyes of that other on her. Her own gaze swept the crowd. All eyes were on the two of them. She didn't know whose gaze she still felt.
Fair, Tofalar proclaimed at last. You both are free to be among our people as honored guests while we consider. Please enjoy all we have. Share our food and our homes.
The elders departed through the light rain toward the communal buildings. The crowd went back to their business, shooing the children as they went. Savadlin was the last to leave. He smiled and offered his help in anything they might need. She thanked him as he stepped off into the rain. Kaelin and Richard sat alone on the wet wooden floor, dodging the drips of rainwater leaking through the roof. The woven trays of tava bread and the bowl of roasted peppers remained behind. She leaned over and took one of each, wrapping the bread around the pepper. She handed it to Richard and made herself another.
"You angry with me?" he asked.
"No," she admitted with a smile. "I am proud of you." A little boy grin spread on his face. He began eating with his right hand and made short work of it. After he swallowed the last bite, he spoke again. "Look over my right shoulder. There's a man leaning against the wall, long gray hair, arms folded across his chest. Tell me if you know who he is." Kaelin took a bite of the bread and pepper, chewing as she glanced over his shoulder.
"He is the Birdman. I don't know anything about him except that he can call birds to himself."
Richard took another piece of bread, rolled it up, and took a bite. "I think it's time we went and had a talk with him."
"Why?"
Richard looked up at her from under his eyebrows. "Because he's the one who is in charge around here." Kaelin frowned.
"The elders are in charge."
Richard smiled with one side of his mouth. "My brother always says that real power is not brokered in public." He watched her intently with his gray eyes. "The elders are for show. They are respected and so are put on display for others to see, like the skulls on the poles, only they still have the skin on them. They have authority because they are esteemed, but they are not in charge." With a quick flick of his eyes, Richard indicated the Birdman leaning against the wall behind him. "He is."
"Then why has he not made himself known?"
"Because," he said, grinning, "he wants to know how smart we are." Richard stood and held his hand out to her. She stuffed the rest of the bread in her mouth, brushed her hands on her pants, and took his hand. As he hoisted her up, she thought about how much she liked the way he always offered her his hand. He was the first person who had ever done that. It was just one part of why it felt so easy being with him. They walked across the mud, through the cold rain, toward the Birdman. He still leaned against the wall, his sharp brown eyes watching them come. Long hair, mostly silver gray, lay on his shoulders, flowing partway down the deerskin tunic that matched his pants. His clothes had no decoration, but a bone carving hung on a leather thong around his neck. Not old, but not young, and still handsome, he was about as tall as she. The skin of his weathered face was as tough-looking as the deerskin clothes he wore. They stopped in front of him. He continued to lean his shoulders against the wall, and his right knee stuck out as his foot propped against the plastered brick. His arms lay folded across his chest as he studied their faces. Richard folded his arms across his own chest. "I would like to talk to you. If you are not afraid, I might be a spirit." The Birdman's eyes went to hers as she translated, then back to Richard's.
"I have seen spirits before," he said in a quiet voice. "They do not carry swords."
Kaelin translated. Richard laughed. She liked his easy laugh.
"I also have seen spirits, and you are right. They do not carry swords."
A small smile curled the corners of the Birdman's mouth. He unfolded his arms and stood up straight.
"Strength to the seeker."
He gave Richard a gentle slap.
"Strength to the Birdman," he said, returning the easy slap.
The Birdman took the bone carving that hung on the leather thong at his neck and put it to his lips. Kaelin realized it was a whistle. His cheeks puffed out as he blew, but there was no sound. Letting the whistle drop back, he held his arm out while he continued to hold Richard's eyes. After a moment, a hawk wheeled out of the gray sky and alighted on his outstretched arm. It fluffed its feathers, then let them settle as its black eyes blinked and its head swiveled about in short, jerky movements.
"Come," the Birdman said. "We will talk."
He led them among the large communal buildings to a smaller one at the back, set away from the others. Kaelin knew the building with no windows, although she had never been in it. It was the Spirit House, where the gatherings were held. The hawk stayed on his arm as the birdman pulled the door open and motioned them inside. A small fire was burning in a pit at the back end, offering a little light to the otherwise dark room. A hole in the roof above the fire let the smoke out, although it did a poor job of it, and left the place with a sharp, smoky smell. Pottery bowls left from past meals lay about the floor, and a plank shelf along one wall held a good 2 dozen ancestral skulls. Otherwise, the room was empty. The birdman found a place near the center of the room where the rain wasn't dripping and sat down on the dirt floor.